relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Can an officer shoot the leg? Can they shoot somewhere that would not result in a fatal wound, right? So a lot of people have said, couldn't he have just shot her in the leg so she dropped? Could he have shot her in the arm, something like that?
Right, you know, one of the difficult things with that is when you're trying, we don't train to shoot the leg because that's a small target. We train to shoot center mass. What is available to stop that threat? There was a threat going on, a deadly force threat that was going on, so the officer is trained to shoot center mass, the largest part of a body that is available to them. When you try to start shooting legs or arms, rounds miss, and then they continue on, and there are people behind that that could be in danger that are not committing anything.
How do people get to be journalists today? I mean, is that not an IQ test? Can you have to not at least count to 10? How stupid was that question? I do not. The patience of Job from that police chief. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. I hope you enjoyed our last hour. For those of you who wanted to hear the rest of our interview with President Trump, we wanted to put it all together with the breaks that you didn't get to hear unless you're watching us streaming. So I hope you enjoy that. We've got a lot of requests for those missing bits. That's why we dedicated the first hour to the full version of our interview with President Trump. So acting Chief of Police Michael Woods, being asked there by somebody who has press credentials, amazingly, why didn't you shoot her in the leg or the wrist or the ankle? And he said, well, actually, you can't do that. He controlled himself. I couldn't have. When there's a deadly threat occurring in front of you, the priority is to stop the threat. And you engage with lethal force to stop the lethal threat. But I guess knife fighting is just normal. Valerie Jarrett was allegedly the brains behind the Obama administration. An individual who tweeted this after that 16-year-old knife-wielding crazy person. Oh, can I just make a statement here of fact? Killing people, shooting people who are about to stab other people is good. In fact, it's required. It's morally sound. It is an act that is inherently good. If somebody is about to murder somebody else, killing them, irrespective of their skin color, is a good thing. And by the way, knives have no skin color. But Valerie Jarrett, the brains behind the disastrous 8 years of the Obama administration, had this to say. A black teenage girl named Makia Brown. What is it with the apostrophes? Why are so many people who get in trouble with the law have names with apostrophes? I don't understand it. A black teenage girl named Makia Bryant was killed because a police officer immediately decided to shoot her multiple times in order to break up a gunfight. Yeah, exactly. And he's a hero. He saved that other young black girl. Demand accountability. Fight for justice. Is this the latest talking point? Shad, is this the is accountability the cool word now?
Yeah, I think that it's mostly based on, look, what's happening is there's a small victory in the Derek Chauvin case, right?
Right.
And
right.
So then everything is going to be painted like this is all in the same mold, right?
Right.
So it's all about accountability. Obviously.
But is this, have you heard this before? Is this phrase like established PC talking point?
I've only heard it in the last year or two. Only in the last year.
It's been around.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's new to me. I'm sorry. I don't get the faxes from DNC Central. I'm not on the same listserv as Don Lemon and the fake Jake Tapper. But it's interesting because it clearly is an issue talking point. We have LeBron James from a tweet he has. Why has he deleted it? Oh, yeah, because he said it was being used for hateful purposes. Oh, you're the victim now, LeBron James, Mr. I know how to dunk a basketball and I get $240 million for that. So what did he do? He found a photograph of the hero, the police officer, who neutralized that threat judiciously, righteously, and in capital letters, in the tweet he deleted, he said, "You're next." With an hourglass. Hashtag accountability. What is an hourglass used for? Oh, yeah. To count time down. To what? An execution? What does your next mean, LeBron James? And you're putting the photograph there. Hashtag accountability. Are you saying hashtag he should be next to die? Are you trying to target him? And then when there was an avalanche of social media backlash for this cretin who likes to be posed to be seen in front of... Have you seen him at the gym when he's holding a book? This is great. Somebody posted all the photographs of LeBron James reading, you know. Not picture books, real books. And somebody noticed, why are the books, if you look at the spine, they're always on page one? Does LeBron never get past page one? I wonder how that is. Accountability. How about this for accountability? How about the sweatshops, the slave labor camps that you profit from in China, where Uyghur women, the religious minority, are used as slaves for you? I'd love some hashtag accountability on that, King James. But it's not just him. There is a woman who was famous for one thing. What was she famous for? She climbed a flagpole in 2015 and took down a Confederate flag. And this lady has now almost 500,000 followers on Twitter. And this is what she posted. What's her name again? Brianne. Oh, it doesn't matter. 500,000 followers. That's all you need to know. The insanity of social media. Teenagers have been having fights, including fights involving knives, for eons. Eons? What, like millennia? Huh. We do not need police to address these situations by showing up to the scene and using a weapon against one of the teenagers. Y'all need help. I mean that sincerely. How nice of you to mean that sincerely. Bree Newsom. Thank you, Shad. Now, what would have happened if the police officer who was doxxed, who was threatened by LeBron James, what would have happened if he just sat there, folded his arms, ate a donut, and watched that 16-year-old girl stab the other one? We have the other footage now, by the way, where she was screaming, "I'm going to effing kill you!" What would have happened to that police officer if he just sat there like this lady said, like Miss Newsom directed? Oh, he'd then be a racist and would have to be held accountable for being a racist. There's only one thing in this nation that can be called systemic oppression, and it's not systemic racism. It's the systemic oppression of those who love this country, love the values upon which it was built, and who, even if they don't call themselves conservatives, are, by dint of their values, conservatives. That's the only systemic oppression we have. And right now, it's being championed right out of the White House. Could you imagine any other head of state saying what Biden did yesterday, saying what Kamala did, talking about the innate racism and the systemic oppression? No other head of state would do that, because you only do that when you hate the country you're supposed to be leading. He's not leading anything except a radical movement to destroy the greatest nation on God's earth. But sorry, sleepy creepy, we're going to stand in your way. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Next, Victor Davis Hanson and Matt Boyle of Breitbart. Don't touch that dial. Dear friends, there has never been a more important time to protect your digital rights. That's why I and thousands of my patriotic listeners choose to secure our online data by using ExpressVPN. Did you believe that a VPN isn't for you because you can use the internet just fine without one? At any time you go online, your internet service provider can see every site you're visiting. Are you confused about how it works? ExpressVPN is an app for computers and smartphones that encrypts your network data and reroutes it through a secure server. That means you can use the internet more anonymously without having your activity tracked. Do you think that VPNs are complex and only for tech experts? Take it from me, they're not. With ExpressVPN, you launch the app and tap just one button to protect yourself. It's really that simple. Take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/GORKA and get 3 extra months free on a 1-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/GORKA to get 3 extra months free. Visit expressvpn.com/Gorka right now.
Let me tell you, the only reason this system, this capitalist system, remains intact is because the Democrats and Republicans are working together to maintain it. That's why I'm not an independent, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm a goddamn revolutionary!
One of the protesters after the Chauvin verdict was announced saying that he's not a Democrat, he's not an independent, he's not a Republican, he's a goddamn revolutionary. What better apropos to discuss with our regular guest? He's the author of a brand new book. You can pre-order it right now. The Dying Citizen, How Progressive Elites, Tribalism and Globalization Are Destroying the Idea of America. Senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, Professor Victor Davis Hanson, welcome back to America First.
Thank you for having me.
Professor, we can't treat these people as crazy outliers anymore. When somebody screams at the top of their lungs that he's a revolutionary, shouldn't other Americans pay attention?
Yeah, we should. But these are people who, we have to remember, are also careerists. LeBron is a revolutionary. Oprah is. Meghan Markle is. The Obamas are. But they're also careerists. So they know empirically that if you look at the data, of all the people arrested in the United States every year, African Americans are not inordinately shot when unarmed in police custody, given their percentages of those arrested. They know that the largest group that commits hate crimes disproportionately to its population representation are African American. And the fewest people who create anti-Asian crimes are so-called white people. But, so I'm getting the point is that the data is there if anybody wants to look at it. So it's not about empirical truth. It's about we got concessions, we got more concessions, we got a lot of concessions. We're going to still get more concessions as we scan the news cycle every day and find an incident that we can exaggerate and find useful for this careerist trajectory we're on. That's what they're doing.
This is a fascinating point. So let's put this into the historic context that I'm familiar with. So you use the phrase professional revolutionary to describe LeBron James, Oprah Winfrey, and others, and the BLM founder who just bought three mansions for herself. So my experience, my family's experience, for example, was, you know, my parents growing up under communism, my parents' villa being taken away, confiscated by the communist state to house a secret police family. In that scenario, the extremists, the communists, take power and then become rich, then become the select with the Dachas, with the Zill limousines and so forth. Here, it seems to be the obverse. It seems to be backwards, Professor Hansen. The revolution hasn't occurred. They haven't taken power, but they're making out like bandits hand over fist as millionaires. At some point, are they going to want to take control and create that one-party state? What is your prediction?
Well, there are both phenomena in history. The Jacobins were all wealthy aristocrats that felt that the French Revolutionary movement would eventually target them, so they were going to get out in front. A lot of the white Russians, as you know, and the aristocrats that had been for moderate reforms joined the Bolsheviks, thinking they could cut a deal with them. So what I think what's happening with a lot of our wealthy elite is they look at BLM or Antifa or whatever and think, or the heads of Coke or Disney or Delta, well, we want to cut a deal with these people and then maybe we can deal with them and they'll give us an exemption. And so if we say something or do something on tour, we bought, you know, woke insurance. So that's a lot of it. But what unites these two groups, the wannabe rich and the already rich, is that they're not sincere. And they know the United States is the least racist country in the world. You know, if you look at the, 40 million African Americans, they have a higher GDP than every country in Black Africa. If you look at the number of billionaires in Hollywood, African Americans, I think, are three of the top five. If you look at per capita income in the United States, whites are way below Asian Americans, I think $20,000. So it's not. There's no symptomology of a white supremacist whiteness culture. It just isn't there. There's, in fact, very rarely has a majority of population been so eager to intermarry and allow people to come in who were of a different appearance than their founding majority. So this is a unique society. What I'm worried about is that this is not a permanent situation where the United States says, you know, we're the best and we're the strongest and we always will be. A multiracial democracy is a very fragile idea. It's almost never appeared. Brazil can't do it. India doesn't do it very well. But we're the only country that can do it. But not if everybody reverts to tribalism.
You've written numerous works of historic, strategic, military analysis. When you have a commander-in-chief, a new president, who from the White House says, this is a systemically racist nation, how do our enemies and our adversaries look at that statement?
Well, that we saw in Anchorage what they did. They regurgitate it and says, if your own people think you're racist or if your UN ambassador thinks you're racist, why get mad at us when we think you're racist, even though the Chinese are the most racist, that government's the most racist government in the world? Or when Vladimir Putin, you know, marshals tens of thousands of troops on the border of Ukraine, and he says, you know, you called me a killer. If I'm a killer, this is what killers do. What are you going to do about it? And you're a racist and you've got all these problems, so don't look at me. And so our enemies are very sophisticated propagandists, and they love what the left's doing. And I don't know quite what the left thinks the end game is, because this Oprah and Ta-Nehisi Coates or the Obamas, who are multi-millionaires, don't they see the system that allowed them to be in the upper 0.0001%? Is that what they want to destroy? Do they want to make it into Venezuela? So they've done very well by the system. And, you know, there are a lot of revolutionary movements. It's not the poor, it's the upper middle class and wealthy that piggyback on it, that are the most sort of like a Che Guevara or a Robespierre, that are the most radical. A lot of those radical Hamas people in the West Bank, if you go over to Israel and you look at their homes and they're pointed out to you, they look like Palo Alto or something. So
you're saying there's an astrategic element to all of this, and eventually it's self-destructive?
One would hope so, because that has happened. It did in the French Revolution. It did in the Salem witch trial, the McCarthy hysteria, but it requires some pushback. Or the Bolsheviks were very small minorities, you know. And
nobody yes.
really. Kerensky was sort of incompetent.
The original revolutionaries fit into a boxcar sealed, funded by the Germans, that was sent all the way across Europe to the Russian czarist region to effect that revolution. It was just a handful of people, but those who believe and have a plan can be very, very dangerous. We're going to stay on for one more segment with Victor Davis Hanson, author of The Dying Citizen, How Progressive Elites, Tribalism, and Globalization Are Destroying the Idea of America. Relief Factor. If you're in daily pain and have found no relief, you've got to try this 100% drug-free product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans, me included. Just go to relieffactor.com right now, order your 3-week quick starter pack, or call 800-583-84. If you've given up hope, if you've tried everything else, you've got to try Relief Factor. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. 800-583-84, relieffactor.com.
You say is an appropriate amount of golf to play when you're president of the United States.
I played my first year, and then when we had troops in combat, I didn't play at all.
Because of the optics?
Because I didn't want some mother seeing his kids in combat, seeing the commander-in-chief out there playing golf, so I didn't play any.
That makes a lot of sense. Would you play golf at a Trump property?
Probably not.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. President Bush wouldn't play at a Trump property. Why is that? And did you miss the earlier part of that? I didn't want to play golf while our troops were in combat because it wouldn't look good. How about not having our troops in combat? Would that have been a better choice? Let's analyze the zombie-like Republican establishment with the author of the upcoming book. It's not even out yet, and it's number one in its category, The Dying Citizen, How Progressive Elites, Tribalism, and Globalization Are Destroying the Idea of America. I hate to sound like a broken record, Professor Hanson, but is the establishment GOP as typified by George W. Bush, is it just unkillable?
I don't know what his point is. Is he the gatekeeper of conservatism? Does he really believe that the Trump record was a greater threat to the Republic than the Obama record? Does he really believe that when 2006 and 2007, when Iraq was under, it was almost imploding, that a lot of us supported his efforts, while everybody from Al Gore to John Glenn to Cindy Sheehan every single day was calling him not reckless, but a Nazi, a Mussolini-like fascist, They had an op-ed in the Guardian saying, "Where's John Wilkes Booth when you need them?" They wrote a novel about George Bush, about how to kill him. This is what the media did to him. Does he remember that about the left? Is he just so angry because Donald Trump destroyed the candidacy of Jeb Bush? Is that why he's angry? I don't know, but it doesn't look good. But I don't know why these conservatives or so-called conservatives feel it's their duty to police other conservatives and then not say a word about the left that had they had enlisted people to help them. Mitt Romney is another example. He came to the Hoover Institution a number of times. I liked him, but the message was, hey, you conservatives, you got to help us. You got to help me get elected. And then it's never reciprocal with them.
No, because I think you're right, Professor. They do deem themselves to be the elite gatekeepers. The Daily Caller is reporting the following, and I must share it with you for your comment. The retired Lieutenant General Russell Honoré, who Speaker Pelosi has invited to be the chief investigator for the events of January the 6th and the violence in Congress, was boasting at the weekend on Sunday on his Twitter feed about the interview he gave to CGTN America, which is a U.S. affiliate of the communist Beijing-controlled China Central TV, an interview, Professor, in which he lambasted his fellow Americans because their denial of climate change. Is this the kind of person who should be chief investigator of anything?
No, and he joins the ranks of the DOJ civil rights nominee and the UN ambassador nominee. This is Obama's nominees on steroids, all of them. And they feel that the louder and more vehement they can criticize their own country, the more they're going to be luminaries in the Biden administration. It's kind of pathetic. It really is. And we know what happened last time when we met the Chinese delegation in Anchorage. All they did was regurgitate. So all he's doing is, we can imagine the next time we meet them on an international stage, they will say something that he said or another one of the Obama. With friends like this, you don't need enemies.
And the fact that Obama's counterterrorism Homeland Security expert, Lisa DeMonico, was confirmed in the Senate to be the number two person at Biden's DOJ by every Republican bar two. Have they also missed what happened in 2016? It wasn't too long ago, was it, Professor?
No, it wasn't. And even admit that the whole Capitol. This has been a very, I mean, the whole Capitol assault, which was regrettable, but on January 16th, that whole narrative has fallen apart. There was no armed insurrection. Not one person arrested was ever in possession or much less used a weapon. There were no insurrectionary leaders they found that planned it. It was chaotic. It was sort of crackpot, but it was not an armed insurrection. Brian Sicknick was not killed by a Trump supporter. He died a day later of natural causes. We don't know who killed Ashley Babbitt. It's the weirdest thing in the world. We've never had an unarmed civilian breaking the law, albeit going through a window, but was shot and killed by a policeman, and the investigation was never publicized. We don't know the age or gender or race of the police officer. And we've demonized the victim, and that's just the opposite of what we were told is the normal protocol. Anytime a policeman shoots anybody that's unarmed, then immediately the picture, the description, the personal information is blasted.
Yeah, it's blasted out by people like LeBron James, but you're right, Professor. We don't even know the name of the police officer who killed U.S. Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt. The book is The Dying Citizen. He's Professor Victor Davis Hanson. Follow him at VD Hanson. I'm Sebastian Gorka, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Sadly, we're living under a Biden-Harris administration, and we all have to navigate the fallout of the barrage of executive orders. We have a good idea of what these are going to mean for the country. More debt, more regulation, slower growth, and higher taxes. Congress continues to expand spending, and the Fed has no choice but to keep printing money at an accelerated rate. This causes the dollar to fall and gold to increase. Add in recent talk of the so-called Great Reset, the multinational elite enacting a digital wallet currency, and just think of the implications of all of this and exactly what it'll do to your personal finances. The importance of owning physical gold and silver has never been stronger. Time to create your own gold standard with a call to the dealer I do business with. Call the experts at veteran-owned Midas Gold Group. Call 855-322-GOLD. That's 855-322-4653. Online at MidasGoldGroup.com.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Did you catch our first hour, the full, unedited interview with President Trump? You can catch it at our Rumble channel. Yes, YouTube of fascists, but we've got over 250,000 followers already. It's free. Rumble.com/Seb Gorka. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. Rumble.com/Seb Gorka. Amazing little snippet of information from Fox News. This is about what happened between, an officer called Chauvin and the then Attorney General who had some involvement in that case. This is Trace Gallagher, Fox News, Video Cut 7, Play Cuts.
But I think it's also important, Neil, to go back and remember that several months ago, Derek Chauvin was willing to plead guilty to third-degree murder. I mean, he was saying, look, I'm willing to plead guilty. He knew that would have entailed significant prison time. But the Attorney General then, Bill Barr, said no because it was one too early. And there was this kind of prospect that maybe a third-degree murder sentence was too lenient because the climate in the country was at such a heated rate.
Hang on a second. Was that a federal court or was it Minnesota? Where was it committed? What is the Attorney General in D.C. doing getting involved in a local case of murder in the second degree? I think that story's only just begun. Let's welcome in studio investigative journalist par excellence, Washington political editor for the most influential conservative website out there. It's Breitbart.com, and he's Matt Boyle. Great to see you, Matt.
Dr. Gorka, it's great to be here.
You look like you're a man living in a free state.
I am. I'm now formally a resident of Florida. I've moved from Washington, D.C. I'm just up here taking care of some things, and so I figured I'd pop in studio today for our normal hit. So,
suits you well. Yeah. Suits you well. Okay, follow this man's writings. You've got a bookmark, Breitbart.com. Check it every single day. Let's start with this. So Biden's at it again. He's issued a statement, Matt, where he's saying you may not be able to celebrate the 4th of July. How out of touch is this administration?
It's totally ridiculous. It's a complete failure on President Biden's part. He is not led at all throughout the pandemic. We are now seeing the consequences. First off, elections have consequences. If Democrats get into power, we know that they abuse said power. Joe Biden's been president now for nearly 100 days.
Yes.
We're nearing the end of the 100 days in the next week or so here. During that time frame, he has completely failed to get the pandemic under control. And Democrats on Capitol Hill haven't done anything to help fight the pandemic or any other major issue that Americans care about, like, fixing our economy. What they have been focused on is measures designed to try to get more power. So they got power. Instead of actually using it to solve people's problems, they are using the power to try to get more power. They're doing things like HR1 to fundamentally change the way elections are done and run them out of Washington, D.C. They're doing things like they just passed D.C. statehood out of the House of Representatives today. That's entirely unconstitutional, by the way. There's
yes.
close to 100% chance if it ever did become law that it would be thrown out by the U.S. Supreme Court. Entirely unconstitutional. There needs to be a district of it's literally explained out in the Constitution.
There's
now,
a reason
Puerto
why
Rico, you could argue for, okay, fine, or Guam or whatever, but D.C., no, you cannot make D.C. a state.
Like, because the founding fathers intentionally said it is not a state because you can't have the Senate have power over the federal government's home.
Right, exactly. So that's why Again, it's literally spelled out in the Constitution. So it is unconstitutional, but it's designed to try to give them two more senators. That's why they're doing it.
Hang on, guys. You got to remember this, okay? This isn't hyperbole from Matt. This is the town. This is the city that voted more than 92% for Hillary Clinton. 90. That's like Saddam Hussein-level elections. So this is a totally Democrat city.
Well, yeah, I mean, dictators across the world would be proud. Right? Like, yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I think, what did Saddam get, 89%, something like, just shy of what D.C. voted for Hillary. A little bit less than Hillary in D.C. But, like, I'm joking. I actually don't know what Saddam got in his elections.
He got 98.
Right. So, pretty close. But, anyway, pretty close to Saddam Hussein level. But, look, they're trying to do D.C. statehood. They're trying to do... they're trying to do the nuclear option. That's one of the things that the left is really gunning for. And
what's
right
the
now,
latest on that? Can you tell us what the latest?
Senator
on
Joe Manchin is standing firm. So Senator Joe Manchin is standing firm against the nuclear option. He's standing for the filibuster, and it doesn't appear that there's any indication that either he or Senator Sinema from Arizona are going to budge on that. So it doesn't look like they're going to get it. But again, all of these things, and then you see them trying to pack the Supreme Court. So they introduced legislation to add justices to the Supreme Court, and Biden plays along with it by rolling out a commission to study it all and so on and so forth. But
with crazy people like Lawrence Tribe.
Right.
I mean, one of the most radical, quote unquote, legal professors out there on the commission.
So, again, what they're doing is they are literally trying to use their power to get more power, and they're not solving problems. Getting back to your original question of can we get together on July 4th? Of course we can get together on July 4th. We all know it's safe to do so. We all know it's safe that all of these different mandates and ridiculous lockdowns and closures haven't worked. We've seen the case studies now of Texas and Florida and other South Dakota, et cetera, other states that haven't done what the Faucis of the world have advocated for, have been successful. I can tell you from being in Florida for the last 2 months, you can go around down there. I hardly ever had to put on a mask. Some businesses require it, but otherwise, it's not. It's completely normal. People are living their lives. They're happy.
Are there piles of bodies?
No, there's not. And and again, it just proves that the fanatics in Washington D.C. in the so-called public health space are wrong. And we now see that states that have had the strictest measures, like Michigan, have significant record numbers of cases now. And again, Governor Whitmer, as evidenced by her own behavior, she's gone to Florida twice now, including after she told people of Michigan to not travel to Florida for spring break.
Did she wear a level 4 hazmat suit?
No, she didn't.
What?
So she went on vacation to Florida for spring break, and she got caught. She got caught. So did several of her senior staffers. And again, this is as she's issuing orders to the people of Michigan, telling them not to travel. So even Governor Whitmer admits that Florida is a much more pleasant place to be, that's safer than her home state of Michigan because of the failures of people like these elected Democrats, like everybody from Biden on down to Gretchen Whitmer.
Rules for thee, but not for me. But he's uncovering the hypocrisy every single day. And he's teased it already in the break. Something big's going to drop. Yes, it's about Nancy Pelosi. We'll discuss her next here on America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. You know I love MyPillow and how it literally changed my life. It's the pillow that won't go flat. You can wash it and dry it as many times as you want and it'll keep its shape. And it's made in the USA. Now, for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for just $29.98. That's originally $69.98, $40 of savings. And kings are only $5 more. That's the lowest price ever. Just $29.98 for the standard queen premium. And all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code GORKA. You'll find the most amazing offers and deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code GORKA, MyPillow.com.
What explains why Texas is so darn low compared to the rest of the state? Lockdown states have a much higher case rate
than the state of Texas, which is over a month ago now, said we're not going to lock down, we're not going to have all these mandates that you say we have to have.
Yeah, there's a difference between lockdown and the people obeying the lockdown. You know, you could have a situation where they say, we're going to lock down, and yet you have people doing exactly what they want to do.
Is that what is happening in the top eight states in the country? They're just not following what's been told? They're not listening to Dr. Fauci?
I'm sorry, you're speaking so fast, I'm not even hearing what you're saying.
Well, you can look at the numbers.
I can't see that. It's too far away.
Why does he get $413,000 a year as the highest paid bureaucrat? He can't see, he can't hear, and he doesn't know why the freest states like Florida have the least COVID infections.
Well, look,
Fauci, by the way.
Yeah, he gets $413,000 a year because he's survived in the swamp this long, not because he's that talented of a doctor. He's not. But he is a talented bureaucrat and politician, and so that's why he gets that. Look, he played people like Trump, he played people like Reagan, he played people
during the AIDS crisis,
like
guys.
Bush,
look
both
it up.
Bushes. He's been here for a long time, a lot of presidents, both parties, and somehow keeps skating by. By the way, it's worth noting that those U.S. taxpayer-funded grants that went to that Wuhan Institute of Virology, where the virus potentially leaked from. Those tax dollars came from whose office? Dr. Anthony Fauci.
They were approved.
Right?
Look
like,
it
so,
up, guys.
And by the way, there's legislation that came out today from Senator Mike Braun, Senator Josh Hawley, that would force the U.S. government and the Biden administration to be transparent about the intelligence regarding this Wuhan lab. That's worth following very
closely.
I'm
not holding my breath. 60 seconds left. A big story's about to drop about Nancy Pelosi and her family. You've got to check out Breitbart repeatedly today. Last few seconds. Does she pay any penalty for just doubling down and saying what Maxine Waters said was fine? That inciting violence.
Well, I think they're going to lose a ton more House seats than they were going to because all
you
these
do.
Democrats that voted against the censure resolution, she would have been just the 24th member censured by the Congress. And by the way, she still might be after the upcoming midterm elections. So but I think there's a bunch of so-called moderate members, frontline Democrats in battleground districts who are going to pay a serious consequence for this.
All right, we shall see. That article you promised should be coming soon, right?
Breitbart.com. Just keep checking it. We'll have a big story later tonight.
I'm going to admit it right here, live on national radio. It's a story I had no idea about involving Nancy Pelosi's brother, a horrendous case from Baltimore when her father was the mayor of Baltimore, and how the Pelosis, just like the Clintons, just like the Bidens, got away with it again. Pay attention, bookmark it, and follow this man's writings. Your calls next. We're going to break the rules. We're going to take calls in the opening of the third hour. Jerry! Two Jerrys? Double Jerrys. Jerry squared. Jerry, Virage, Antoinette, don't go anywhere. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network with me, Sebastian Gorka.